Ever since St. Paul started the letter to the Romans, he's had this chapter in mind, chapter 8. Remember way back in verse 18 of chapter 1, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, Jew first, then Greek. Now he's going to tell us the gospel. The gospel is the action of the Holy Spirit. What he's done before this is talk about freedom. Freedom from sin in chapter 5. Death, and then sin, and then law, 5, 6, and 7. Now he's got where he wanted to go. And so this is a manifesto. It's also, if we take it into our own hearts and ponder it, an incredible light to guide our day. In fact, you could write little pieces of it in your, put it in your pocket and look at it during the day. You see? He said now, see, the last line of chapter 7 is, who will deliver us from the body of this death? Thanks be to God, and so forth. Now he says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, it would be a good idea to be in Christ Jesus, wouldn't it? So, what does that mean? See, for the law of the Spirit of life, and that's what he's going to be talking about from now, you see, in Christ Jesus has freed you from the law, from the regime of sin and death. If you're in sin, you're going to die. And the law points that out to you, but it can't do much to help you. Though God didn't leave everybody, you know, he helped them. And he calls, through the prophets, he called them to repentance time and time again. And people repented. It still happens. The Italians are great at this on Ash Wednesday. Everybody's going around beating their breast. They're probably not going to show up for Mass even on Easter Sunday, but they take the repentance seriously anyway. See, God, for the law, weakened by the flesh, that's why we can't keep the law. So what's the flesh? This? No. It's all that drive in us toward self-aggrandizement, self-satisfaction, self-promotion. That's the flesh. Now, it operates through our physical being, our emotions, and so forth. But the sarx, the flesh, is that drive in us. And so, the law, Torah, was weakened by our flesh. We can't keep it, and we don't want to. You see? So, the law, weakened by the flesh, see, what that can't do, God has done. Think of that. God has done it for us. Why? How? By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He never was within 1,000 miles of a sin, but he had a body that was capable of the effects of sin, suffering. And he carried that and knew all his life where it was going to lead him. And for the sake of sin, or to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, what does it mean he condemned sin? It'd be nice if we had the whole morning. We could go over every, what we know. I do, but you don't. Condemned sin in the flesh, see, points it out and can render it powerless, which is what he'll say later on, you see. So that the righteous decree of the law, and it is, you see, everything in the law is righteous, might be fulfilled in us, filled full. Not just meet the law, fulfill it, bring it to its goal, which is what? Knowledge and love of the Father. You see? The law might be fulfilled in us who live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now this word flesh, as I tried to explain the other day, it's a very rich word in Paul. What he means is our whole physical constitution, where all this stuff is raging. Huh? How many people, you don't have to ask or raise your hand, but you know, can have angry thoughts, even coming to church. She said this yesterday and I'm going to get back at her and all that sort of stuff. That's the flesh. You got to kill the flesh. Not on your own, but with the power of the Lord, the power of the cross. For those who live according to the flesh are concerned with the things of the flesh, money, power, revenge, pleasure, big shot, whatever. But those who live according to the Spirit, with the things of the Spirit, the Father, right? You haven't received a spirit of slavery to go back into slavery again, but you've received the spirit of adoption, the very spirit of the Trinity, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Don't wait for the Holy Spirit to move in. He will. So that from the depth of your being, you pray, Abba. I was just a little kid, about 18 years old, 19. And I was just had entered the monastery, and I was praying. And all of a sudden, this Abba came out of me. And I thought, I think that's in the Bible someplace. I mean, I wasn't exactly a biblical scholar in those days. The concern of the flesh is death. Everything we do according to that messed up part of us kills us. And it can kill us like mortally. That's why we call it a mortal sin. You see? But the drive of the Spirit is life and peace. For the concern of the flesh is hostility toward God. It's got to be. If I'm going to put myself on the throne, I got to push God off. And so, it does not submit to the law, nor can it. You can't keep the law, you see, without the Holy Spirit. For you, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit. He's trying to tell us, don't you know the divine Holy Spirit dwells in you? That infinite, eternal rush of love between the Father and the Son dwells in you. If you gave the Holy Spirit his way, you could be a saint. Oh, but that hurts. Yeah, it does. But you know, we've only got a few years and then it's over. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, no matter what they say about being Christians. They might believe, but they don't belong to Christ until they've really started to give it. We all fail. There's no doubt about that. But let the Holy Spirit teach us, guide us, move us, little by little. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But we have the Spirit of Christ. So we belong to Jesus Christ, the living, eternal Son of God, who's going to feed us on his body and blood. You see? But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, it's on its way to death. It can't do anything because of sin. The Spirit, your Spirit, is alive because of righteousness. That is, because of this creation of grace in us that only God can do. You see? So finally, he gets to this one. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's the future. And that's the opening paragraph of chapter 8. Now he's going to describe, and tune in, you know, it's going to be beautiful. He's going to describe the Christian life. And the Christian life is life in the Spirit. That's it. I remember, I think it was Congar, said, you know, right after the Vatican II had done the doctrine on the document on the church, I think it was, I forgot, Kongar. I think it was Kongar. Kongar said to Skrima. Skrima was an Greek Orthodox observer. And he said to Skrima, what do you think of that document? He said, it's really pretty good. But if we Orthodox were to do it, all we would do is have two treatises on the Holy Spirit and on anthropology. How does the Spirit animate the person? You see? Okay, now we have to go rather quickly to the gospel. But you see, we're still in this part of St. Luke where he's gathered all our Lord's call to repentance. Now, if you think about it a little bit, this is God standing there calling people to repentance. This is God today standing here calling us to repentance. This text was written by the Holy Spirit. And so, you remember how it goes. People told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Where are they? If he's, they're in Jerusalem. You don't have sacrifices anywhere else. Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? Listen to how intent he is to get us out of sin. By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you all will perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? This is the Son of God talking to us. Oh, there must have been something wrong with those people. There's exactly the same thing wrong with you. That's what he's trying to, you know, he's telling us. And then, in all of this section of Luke, there is this waiting period. You know, a lot of the texts, as you remember, the chief servant in the house who beat up everybody and ate and drank, and then the master came back and found him at it. You remember that parable? Well, what's he saying? Don't act like that fella, because I'll come when you don't expect me, and you'll be in trouble. How kind. How kind. He doesn't take any pleasure in punishing us. See, he's trying to get us out of it. So the once was a person. Actually, the text says a man, you know, but we don't say that anymore. So there was a person. I don't have to figure it. How many women own fig trees? I mean, let's get real. But anyway. anyway. For 3 years I've come in search of fruit on this tree and nothing's happened. So cut it down. And the servant says, let me work on it for a while. You see, that's our warning, isn't it? See, the Holy Spirit is the servant who wants to work on us. So when the Lord comes looking for fruit, he's going to find it. And he's going to be thrilled to find it. Because he loves us. So, as the day goes by, listen to the Holy Spirit. And he'll tell you things. Huh? Number one, turn the radio off in the car so you can hear him. And then start to pray. And listen. And, you know, the first things come to your mind about repentance are stuff, the easy stuff. You know that already. But if you listen carefully, oh, no, I forgot about, you know. Or there is no way I can forgive that person of this. Well, the Holy Spirit of God is telling you to. So don't waste time. Because, you see, if you don't bear fruit, you'll get cut down.